Now, the international city of London, England, has always been a magnet for artists in exile, and in recent years it's welcomed many from Iraq. And while they waited out, often in reduced circumstances and anonymous suburbs, they continue to compose and practice and perform. Their new circumstances inform their new work, but their burning passion remains the country they left behind, the country they're waiting to reclaim, as we hear from Dispatches contributor Hadani Ditmars with one artist at work.
This is the second work about map of Baghdad as a burning city.
Oh, you wrote the word Iraq into the canvas.
Yeah, by fire.
Hannah Malala is showing me a map of her ruined homeland in her studio in Brixton.
And this is Jamie Habohead.
This is no ordinary map. The multi-layered tableau of burned and blackened fabric superimposed on place names like Baghdad and Basra is more spiritual than actual cartography.
This is a real mailbag from Najaf. I received it from my sister in Najaf.
It reminds you of home.
Yeah.
Hannah is a well-known artist and was a professor at the Baghdad Fine Arts Academy.
I forced at 2006 to leave Iraq because many academics killed and be a target from violence.
Hannah is one of an estimated 150,000 Iraqis living in London and one of a growing cultural diaspora. Artists like her are keeping the flame of their culture alive, even as fundamentalism, violence, and occupation have almost snuffed it out in Iraq.
Baghdad is the city which I love forever. It's my work and my life.
So how has it been for your career here in London as an artist?
It's good for me. It's because I like this cosmopolitan city and it's multicultural. I like London because it's the capital city of the empire which invaded Iraq long time. And I like a British museum because it's a lot of artifacts from Iraq on it.
But also your work, the British Museum actually acquired three of your paintings, yes?
Yeah, this is a very good opportunity for me.
Does missing Iraq inspire you? Is there a kind of sense of nostalgia?
It's not nostalgia to turn back to my home. It's not like this.
How do you miss Iraq?
I miss Iraq as a culture which destroyed.
Is it harder to tune the oud in this weather?
Yes.
Because it's raining all the time? It's easier in Baghdad, yeah?
Easier, because it's the sun, you know, make the wood dry.
In a cramped council flat in Acton, Ehsan Imam is playing the oud for me. He tells me that when he was a young man in Baghdad, the music scene there was flourishing.
That time there's a wonderful performance. Even there is a war with Iran, but we still use our music there and theater, and the people enjoy with a kind of music. Mm-hmm. But I don't know now, because the situation there, it's very difficult. No theater, so where is the performer? Live, there's no performing live, you know?
Ehsan fled Saddam-era Iraq in the 90s. Now he ekes out a living teaching, but also performs throughout Europe.
You can work everywhere, anywhere. So, for example, I went to Stockholm, so I wrote music there.
What about in London? What have you written in England that's
Oxford Street.
A similar piece that you wrote about Baghdad as a city?
Sure.
What's it called?
Bain al-Nahrain.
What does that mean?
Between two rivers.
Ah. Can you play a small excerpt for me? That would be great. Sure. So Ehsan, I noticed when you were playing both pieces that your heart and your soul seemed to be more in the second one about Baghdad.
Yeah.
But how do you feel when you're playing that song here in your flat in Acton? Do you feel very homesick?
Yes, you can say that, but almost I go further out of these walls. So when I hold my oath, the Iraq becomes in my mind, my family, my home, my streets in Baghdad. So thanks God, I have something give me closer to Iraq. It is the oath.
مطر بلندن يغسل الروح الشوارع من سبات الثلج والصحراء.
Rain in London cleans the soul and the streets from the snow and the desert. For 50 years I have been sheltered underneath clouds and tents, pinned between my home country and my exile, and the road to them is the same. My poem is the road.
London is the home of Shakespeare and Wordsworth, writers who inspire Iraqi poet Adnan El-Sayeg. He fled Iraq in the 90s and ended up here, but he still longs for Baghdad.
The Arabic version and the version that is translated from a woman in Australia and another one from America.
Two translations of the poem. And this is the famous Mischievous Verses poem that got Adnan into trouble in Basra.
لا كاثوليكي لا بروتستانتي ربي واحد لا سني لا شيعي ربي واحد
من جزء. My Lord is one, not a Catholic or a Protestant, not a Shi'i or a Sunni. Whoever divided him, whoever interpreted him, whoever put words in his mouth, whoever classified him according to his own sect, his aims, his laws, and his troops is the unbeliever.
ننشف عنهم بقع الدم.
So Adnan, tell me what happened when you were reciting your poems at the poetry festival in Basra in 2006. What happened?
After I read my poem, the people glad, but one people come and he shouted at me that he will kill me. My friends take me to Kuwait and went to the London. Now I safe.
So Adnan, are you carrying your country in your heart or in your poems?
Yes, I feel I carry my country in my heart and my eyes and my print. And all time when I wrote my poem, I feel my heart ينبض. The pumping is Iraq, Iraq, Iraq.
Every time you write, your heart is beating Iraq, Iraq,
yes,
Iraq.
Yes, and I look, my paper, Iraq is in the paper.
And the outcome was to say the occupation. And that is the most important issue, ultimately.
At a seminar on the future of Iraq in Camden Town, attended by earnest activists and a few bewildered Iraqis, I meet writer Haifa Zangana. She was imprisoned by Saddam for her political views and fled Iraq for London in the 1970s. Haifa went back post-invasion to research her new book, City of Widows. It celebrates both the creative resistance and the suffering of her people.
People are still suffering, and we don't want to say what is worse, what is better, but definitely their lives are targeted because of what they're writing, because of what they're saying.
Haifa continues to write about her homeland from the safety of London and to organize readings and exhibits for recently arrived Iraqi artists, helping to ease them into their newfound exile.
Living in exile, you are living what I call is on al-atabe. Al-Ataba is on the threshold, so you are not totally inside and you are not totally outside. And this kind of feeling I shared with many Iraqis, and especially women, and I wrote about it.
Haifa is both a lyrical and a political writer. She sees the destruction of Iraqi culture as a deliberate political tool. But for Haifa, Iraq is not about fundamentalism, but about language and poetry.
We had the first written poem in history, and that is something like 3,000 years before Christianity. The first written poem in the world is written by Anchidone, a woman poet. But also it is the Islamic culture, Islamic heritage based on the word, based on the Quran and the language of it. So it is the continuity of the beauty of the language, celebrated it in all aspects of creativity.
Haifa reads for me a poem by Mai Mudaffer, a snapshot from a series of poems about the destruction of Baghdad.
Under the ruins which was a city, and the stones which were a home, with the burnt trunks which were trees, and the dried blood which was a person, look there, for under the ruins and the stones and the dust lie golden ingots uncollected by the invaders.
So you can carry on that spirit here as a writer?
Yes, yes. It is the continuity is very important. Even at the darkest of the dark ages, under the Mongol Empire and the invasion, Iraqis continued to produce artwork and produce writing. So it is the being resilient and the continuity is very important.
We didn't meet in Baghdad. Both our families left Iraq around the same time, just after the first Gulf War. First time I met Salim was at Imperial College. I was studying.
For 33-year-old Hassan Abdulrazak, the idea of Iraq is fluid and evolving. His play, Baghdad Wedding, was a smash hit in Soho last year, and he's currently at work on a screenplay. With its urban, educated, and secular characters, his play challenges stereotypes of Iraqi society. At the same time, it reflects the reality of Iraqis like him, who grew up in England.
On a pickup truck, dancing, singing, drinking, firing shots in the air. A wedding is not a wedding in Iraq unless shots are fired. It's like in England, where a wedding is not a wedding unless somebody pukes or tries to shag one of the bridesmaids. It's just the way it goes.
Hassan tells me that the first Gulf War really awakened in him a strong sense of the homeland he left at age 13.
For me, Iraq is my childhood. And all every human being can never return to their childhood. But for Iraqis, this is amplified by the fact that your lost childhood is also your lost country.
Hassan's play in progress concerns a young Iraqi-British artist based in London who worries that her successful anti-occupation exhibit, applauded by well-meaning English liberals, will do nothing to stop the destruction of her homeland. I ask Hassan why it's important that Iraqi artists continue to explore Iraqi themes from the diaspora.
Ultimately, the art can serve. I think the analogy I would draw is with the Holocaust and art, Jewish art, as a reminder of the Holocaust and serving as a kind of bulwark against future atrocities against Jews. I think that has been incredibly successful, and that's a good model for Iraqi artists to emulate. You know, compared to that, what Iraqis have achieved in terms of protest against the atrocities that were committed against them is a drop in that ocean, really. So there's so much more that could be done. If people end up seeing Iraqis as full human beings, I think that would be a great thing for the future, because I think any person with a slight degree of feeling of empathy and humanity would not want to see anything like the current war happen again.
And so from London, Hassan and others continue to write, to paint, to compose, and to dream of a future homeland filled with poetry and peace. For Dispatches, I'm Hadani Ditmars in London.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.